This is ICANN.
KQAC HD2 Portland 89.9.
KQOC HD2 Glenydon Beach 88.1.
KSLC HD2 McMinnville 90.3.
And KQHR HD2 The Dells and Hood River 88.1.
They're black,
they're brown,
they're up,
they're down,
they're in,
they're out,
they're all above,
they're far,
they're near,
they're gone,
they're there,
they're quick and slick,
they're insincere.
Beware, beware, be a very wary bear. A heffalump or woozle is very confusal. A heffalump or woozle's very sly.
Sly,
sly!
They come in ones and twosles, but if they so choosles, before your eyes you'll see them multiply.
Why?
They're extraordinary, so better be wary, because they come in every shape and size.
Size!
Size!
If money's what you covet, you'll find that they love it, because they'll guzzle up the thing you prize. Beware, beware, be a very wary bear. So better be wary, because they come in every shape and size.
Size,
size.
If honey's what you covet, you'll find that they love it, because they'll guzzle up the thing you prize.
They're black,
they're brown,
they're up,
they're down,
they're in,
they're out,
they're all about,
they're far,
they're near,
they're gone,
they're here,
they're quick and slick,
they're insincere.
Beware, 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 beware.
You're listening to ICANN, and right now is the Complete Works of Winnie the Pooh.
The Complete Works of Winnie the Pooh. The immortal stories from the books Winnie the Pooh and The House at Pooh Corner, and poems from When We Were Very Young and Now We Are Six by Alan Alexander Milne. Presented for radio, unabridged, in 18 parts. Produced by Christopher Toyne and performed by Peter Dennis. Part 4, in which Eeyore has a birthday and gets two presents.
This program is dedicated to Anne Darlington. Now she is seven, and because she is so special. Buttercup days. Where is Anne? Head above the buttercups, walking by the stream, down among the buttercups. Where is Anne? Walking with her man, lost in a dream, lost among the buttercups. What has she got in that little brown head? Wonderful thoughts which can never be said. What has she got in that firm little fist of hers? Somebody's thumb, and it feels like Christopher's. Where is Anne? Close to her man. Brown head, gold head, in and out the buttercups. In which Eeyore has a birthday and gets two presents. Eeyore, the old grey donkey, stood by the side of the stream and looked at himself in the water.
Pathetic,
he said.
That's what it is. Pathetic.
He turned and walked slowly down the stream for 20 yards, splashed across it, and walked slowly back on the other side. Then he looked at himself in the water again.
"As I thought," he said. "No better from this side. But nobody minds. Nobody cares. Pathetic. That's what it is."
There was a crackling noise in the bracken behind him, and out came Pooh. "Good morning, Eeyore," said Pooh.
"Good morning, Pooh Bear,"
said Eeyore gloomily.
"If it is a good morning," he said. "Which I doubt,"
said he. "Why, what's the matter?"
"Nothing, Pooh Bear. Nothing. We can't all, and some of us don't. That's all there is to it."
"Can't all what?" said Pooh, rubbing his nose.
"Gaiety, song and dance. Here we go round the mulberry bush."
"Oh," said Pooh. He thought for a long time and then asked, "What mulberry bush is that?"
"Bonhomme,"
went on Eeyore gloomily.
"French word meaning bonhomme,"
he explained.
"I'm not complaining, but there it is."
Pooh sat down on a large stone and tried to think this out. It sounded to him like a riddle, and he was never much good at riddles, being a bear of very little brain. So he sang Cottleston Pie instead.
"Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston Pie, a fly can't bird, but a bird can fly. Ask me a riddle and I reply, Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston Pie."
That was the first verse. When he'd finished it, Eeyore didn't actually say that he didn't like it, so Pooh very kindly sang the second verse to him.
"Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston Pie, a fish can't whistle and neither can I. Ask me a riddle and I reply, Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston Pie."
Eeyore still said nothing at all, so Pooh hummed the third verse quietly to himself.
"Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston Pie, why does a chicken... I don't know why. Ask me a riddle and I reply, Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston Pie." "That's right," said Eeyore. "Sing, umpty tiddly, umpty too. Here we go gathering nuts and may. Enjoy yourself."
"I am," said Pooh.
"Some can," said Eeyore.
"Why, what's the matter?"
"Is anything the matter?"
"You seem so sad, Eeyore."
"Sad? Why should I be sad? It's my birthday, the happiest day of the year."
"Your birthday?" said Pooh in great surprise.
"Of course it is. Can't you see? Look at all the presents I have had."
He waved a foot from side to side.
"Look at the birthday cake. Candles and pink sugar."
Pooh looked, first to the right and then to the left.
"Presents?"
said Pooh.
"Birthday cake?"
said Pooh.
"Where? Can't you see them?"
"No," said Pooh.
"Neither can I,"
said Eeyore.
"Joke,"
he explained.
"Ha, ha."
Pooh scratched his head, being a little puzzled by all this.
"But is it really your birthday?"
he asked.
"It is."
"Oh, well, many happy returns of the day, Eeyore."
"And many happy returns to you, Pooh Bear."
"But it isn't my birthday."
"No, it's mine."
"But you said many happy returns."
"Well, why not? You don't always want to be miserable on my birthday, do you?"
"Oh, I see," said Pooh.
"It's bad enough,"
said Eeyore, almost breaking down,
"being miserable myself, what with no presents and no cake and no candles and no proper notice taken of me at all. But if everybody else is going to be miserable too...
That was too much for Pooh. Stay there! He called to Eeyore as he turned and hurried back home as quick as he could, for he felt that he must get poor Eeyore a present of some sort at once, and he could always think of a proper one afterwards. Outside his house he found Piglet, jumping up and down trying to reach the knocker.
"Hello, Piglet,"
he said.
"Hello, Pooh,"
said Piglet. "What are you trying to do?"
"I was trying to reach the knocker," said Piglet. "I just came round."
"Let me do it for you,"
said Pooh kindly. So he reached up and knocked at the door.
"I have just seen Eeyore," he began, "and poor Eeyore is in a very sad condition because it's his birthday and nobody's taken any notice of it, and he's very gloomy. You know what Eeyore is. And there he was, and... What a long time whoever lives here is answering this door." And he knocked again.
"But, Pooh," said Piglet, "it's your own house."
"Oh," said Pooh, "so it is," he said. "Well, let's go in."
So in they went. The first thing Pooh did was to go to the cupboard to see if he had quite a small jar of honey left, and he had, so he took it down.
"I'm giving this to Eeyore,"
he explained, "as a present. What are you going to give?"
"Couldn't I give it to," said Piglet, "from both of us?"
"No," said Pooh, "that would not be a good plan."
"All right, then. I'll give him a balloon. I've got one left from my party. Go and get it now, shall I?"
"That, Piglet, is a very good idea. It is just what Eeyore wants to cheer him up. Nobody can be uncheered with a balloon."
So off Piglet trotted, and in the other direction went Pooh, with his jar of honey. It was a warm day, and he had a long way to go. He hadn't gone more than halfway when a sort of funny feeling began to creep all over him. It began at the tip of his nose and trickled all through him and out at the soles of his feet. It was just as if somebody inside him was saying, "Now then, Pooh, time for a little something."
"Dear, dear," said Pooh, "I didn't know it was as late as that."
So he sat down and took the top off his jar of honey.
"Lucky I brought this with me. Many a bear going out on a warm day like this would never have thought of bringing a little something with him."
And he began to eat.
"Now, let me see,"
he thought as he took his last lick of the inside of the jar.
"Where was I going? Ah, yes, Eeyore."
He got up, slowly. And then suddenly he remembered he had eaten Eeyore's birthday present.
"Bother," said Pooh. "What shall I do? I must give him something."
For a little while he couldn't think of anything, and then he thought,
"Well, it's a very nice pot, even if there's no honey in it, and if I washed it clean and got somebody to write a happy birthday on it, Eeyore could keep things in it, which might be useful."
So, as he was just passing the 100-acre wood, he went inside to call on Owl, who lived there.
"Good morning, Owl," he said.
"Good morning, Pooh,"
said Owl.
"Many happy returns of Eeyore's birthday," said Pooh.
"Oh, is that what it is?"
"What are you giving him, Owl?"
"What are you giving him, Pooh?"
"I'm giving him a useful pot to keep things in, and I wanted to ask him..."
"Is this it?"
said Owl, taking it out of Pooh's paw.
"Yes. And I wanted to ask you..."
"Somebody has been keeping honey in it,"
said Owl.
"You can keep anything in it," said Pooh earnestly. "It's very useful like that. And I wanted to ask you..."
"You ought to write a happy birthday on it."
"That was what I wanted to ask you," said Pooh, "because my spelling is wobbly. It's good spelling, but it wobbles and the letters get in the wrong places. Would you write a happy birthday on it for me?"
"It's a nice pot,"
said Owl, looking at it all round.
"Couldn't I give it to who? From both of us?"
"No," said Pooh, "that would not be a good plan. Now, I'll just wash it first, and then you can write on it."
Well, he washed the pot out and dried it, while Al licked the end of his pencil and wondered how to spell birthday.
Can you read, Pooh?
He asked a little anxiously.
There's a notice about knocking and ringing outside my door which Christopher Robin wrote. Could you read it?
Christopher Robin told me what it said, and then I could.
Well, I'll tell you what this says, and then you'll be able to.
So Owl wrote, and this is what he wrote.
Hippy-pappy, be-thuth-duth-thuth-da-be-thuth-dee.
Pooh looked on admiringly.
I'm just saying a happy birthday,
said Owl carelessly.
It's a nice long one,
said Pooh, very much impressed by it.
Well, actually, of course, I'm saying a very happy birthday with love from Pooh. Naturally, it takes a good deal of pencil to say a long thing like that.
Oh, I see,
said Pooh. While all this was happening, Piglet had gone back to his own house to get Eeyore's balloon. He held it very tightly against himself so that it shouldn't blow away, and he ran as fast as he could so as he could get to Eeyore before Pooh did, for he thought that he would like to be the first one to give a present, just as if he had thought of it without being told by anybody. And running along and thinking how pleased Eeyore would be, he didn't look where he was going, and suddenly he put his foot in a rabbit hole and fell down flat on his face. Piglet lay there wondering what had happened. At first he thought the whole world had blown up, and then he thought that perhaps only the forest part of it had, and then he thought that perhaps only he had, and he was now alone in the moon, or somewhere, and would never see Christopher Robin, or Pooh, or Eeyore again. And then he thought,
well, even if I'm in the moon, I needn't be face downwards all the time.
So he got cautiously up and looked about him. He was still in the forest.
Well, that's funny, he thought. I wonder what that bang was. I couldn't have made such a noise just falling down. And where's my balloon? And what's that small piece of damp rag doing?
It was the balloon.
Oh, dear,
said Piglet.
Oh, dear. Oh, dearie. Dearie, dear. Well, it's too late now. I can't go back. And I haven't another balloon. And perhaps Eeyore doesn't like balloons so very much.
So he trotted on rather sadly now, and down he came to the side of the stream where Eeyore was and called out to him.
Good morning, Eeyore,
shouted Piglet.
Good morning, little Piglet,
said Eeyore.
If it is a good morning, he said. Which I doubt,
said he.
Not that it matters, he said.
Many happy returns of the day,
said Piglet, having now got closer. Eeyore stopped looking at himself in the stream and turned to stare at Piglet.
Just say that again,
he said.
Many hap...
Wait a moment.
Balancing on three legs, he began to bring his fourth leg very cautiously up to his ear.
I did this yesterday,
he explained, as he fell down for the third time.
It's quite easy. It shows I can hear better. There, that's done it. Now then, what were you saying?
He pushed his ear forward with his hoof.
Many happy returns of the day,
said Piglet again.
Meaning me?
Of course, Eeyore.
My birthday?
Yes.
Me having a real birthday?
Yes, Eeyore. And I brought you a present.
Eeyore took down his right hoof from his right ear, turned round, and with great difficulty put up his left hoof.
I must have that in the other ear, he said. Now then.
A present!
Said Piglet very loudly.
Meaning me again?
Yes.
My birthday still?
Of course, Eeyore.
Me going on having a real birthday?
Yes, you are. And I brought you a balloon.
Balloon? Said Eeyore. You did say balloon. One of those big coloured things you blow up. Gaiety, song and dance. Here we are and there we are.
Yes, but I'm afraid. I'm very sorry, Eeyore. But when I was running along to bring it to you, I fell down.
Dear, dear, how unlucky. You ran too fast, I expect. You didn't hurt yourself, little piglet.
No, but I burst the balloon.
There was a very long silence.
My balloon?
Said Eeyore at last. Piglet nodded.
My birthday balloon?
Yes, Eeyore.
Said Piglet, sniffing a little.
Here it is, with many happy returns of the day.
And he gave Eeyore the small piece of damp rag.
Is this it?
Said Eeyore, a little surprised. Piglet nodded.
My present?
Piglet nodded again.
The balloon?
Yes.
Thank you, Piglet, said Eeyore. You don't mind my asking,
he went on.
But what colour was this balloon when it was a balloon?
Red.
I just wondered. Red,
he murmured to himself.
My favorite color. How big was it?
About as big as me.
I just wondered. About as big as Piglet,
he said to himself sadly.
My favorite size. Well, well.
Piglet felt very miserable and didn't know what to say. He was still opening his mouth to begin something and then deciding that it wasn't any good saying that, when he heard a shout from the other side of the river and there was Pooh.
Many happy returns of the day,
called out Pooh, forgetting that he had said it already.
Thank you, Pooh. I'm having them,
said Eeyore gloomily.
I brought you a little present,
said Pooh excitedly.
I've had it,
said Eeyore. Pooh had now splashed across the stream to Eeyore, and Piglet was sitting a little way off, his head in his paws, snuffling to himself.
It's a useful pot, said Pooh. Here it is, and it's got a very happy birthday with love from Pooh written on it. That's what all that writing is, and it's for putting things in there.
When Eeyore saw the pot, he became quite excited.
Why, he said, I believe my balloon will just go into that pot. Oh, no, Eeyore, said Pooh. Balloons are much too big to go into pots. What you do with a balloon is you hold the balloon. Not mine,
said Eeyore proudly.
Look, Piglet.
And as Piglet looked sorrowfully round, Eeyore picked the balloon up with his teeth and placed it carefully in the pot, picked it out, and put it on the ground, and then picked it up again and put it carefully back.
So it does, said Pooh. It goes in.
So it does, said Piglet, and it comes out.
Doesn't it, said Eeyore. It goes in and out like anything. I'm very glad, said Pooh happily, that I thought of giving you a useful pot to put things in.
I'm very glad, said Piglet happily, that I thought of giving you something to put in a useful pot.
But Eeyore wasn't listening. He was taking the balloon out and putting it back again, as happy as could be. And didn't I give him anything? Asked Christopher Robin sadly. Of course you did, I said. You gave him, oh, don't you remember, I gave him a box of paints to paint things with. That was it. Well, why didn't I give it to him in the morning? Well, you were so busy getting his party ready for him. He had a cake with icing on the top and three candles and his name in pink sugar and... Yes, I remember, said Christopher Robin. Explained. Elizabeth Ann said to her Nan, Please will you tell me how God began? Somebody must have made him, so who could it be? 'Cause I want to know. And Nurse said, Well. And Ann said, Well? I know you know, and I wish you'd tell. And Nurse took pins from her mouth and said, Now then, darling, it's time for bed. Elizabeth Ann had a wonderful plan. She would run round the world till she found a man who knew exactly how God began. She got up early, she dressed and ran, trying to find an important man. She ran to London and knocked at the door of the Lord High Doodleham's coach and four. Please, sir, if there's anyone in, however and ever did God begin? The Lord High Doodleham lay in bed, but out of the window large and red came the Lord High Coachman's face instead. And the Lord High Coachman laughed and said, Well, what put that in your quaint little head? Elizabeth Ann went home again and took from the ottoman Jennifer Jane. Jennifer Jane, said Elizabeth Ann, tell me at once how God began. And Jane, who didn't much care for speaking, replied in her usual way by squeaking. What did it mean? Well, to be quite candid, I don't know. But Elizabeth Ann did. Elizabeth Ann said softly, Oh, thank you, Jennifer. Now I know. Spring morning. Where am I going? I don't quite know. Down to the stream where the kingcups grow. Up on the hill where the pine trees blow. Anywhere, anywhere, I don't know. Where am I going? The clouds sail by, little ones, baby ones over the sky. Where am I going? The shadows pass, little ones, baby ones over the grass. If you were a cloud and sailed up there, you'd sail on water as blue as air. And you'd see me here in the fields and say, Doesn't the sky look green today? Where am I going? The high rooks call. It's awful fun to be born at all. Where am I going? The ringdoves coo. We do have beautiful things to do. If you were a bird and lived on high, you'd lean on the wind when the wind came by. You'd say to the wind when it took you away, That's where I wanted to go today. Where am I going? I don't quite know. What does it matter where people go? Down to the wood where the bluebells grow. Anywhere, anywhere, I don't know. The morning walk. When Anne and I go out a walk, we hold each other's hand and talk of all the things we mean to do when Anne and I are 42. And when we've thought about a thing like bowling hoops or bicycling, or falling down on Anne's balloon, we do it in the afternoon. Journey's End. Christopher! Christopher! Where are you going, Christopher Robin? Just up to the top of the hill, upping and upping until I'm right on the top of the hill, said Christopher Robin. Christopher! Christopher! Why are you going, Christopher Robin? There's nothing to see, so when you've got to the top, what then? Just down to the bottom again, said Christopher Robin. Where is Anne? Close to her man. Brown head, gold head. In and out the buttercups.
The Complete Works of Winnie the Pooh, performed by Peter Dennis. Based on the stage show Bother. Music composed and conducted by Don Davis. Piano played by Gloria Chang and clarinet by Charles Boito. Production recorded and mixed by Jeff Sykes at KCRW Santa Monica. Executive producer Jacqueline Delorier. Radio production directed by Christopher Toyne. A co-production of KCRW and Bother LA Production.
You've just heard the complete works of Winnie the Pooh on ICANN HD2 and ICANNRadio.org. Unabridged recordings of the four Winnie the Pooh books can be found at danpour.com or by calling 1-855-369-6768.
That was the complete works of Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore has a birthday and receives two presents. Tomorrow on the complete works of Winnie the Pooh is Kanga and the baby Roo come to the forest. That's tomorrow at the same time on ICANN.
International Children's Arts Network, ICANN, is made possible by the Herbert A. Templeton Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, the Brookby Foundation, and the Oregon Community Foundation. ICANN, poetry, story time, and music for kids.
Original story of the tortoise and the hare is very short. It goes like this. A tortoise and a hare were arguing about who could run faster. They finally agreed to settle the matter with a race. The hare was sure that he could win, and so, in the middle of the race, he lay down and took a nap. The tortoise plodded along and won the race. This story about the tortoise and the hare is over 2,000 years old. A Greek named Aesop wrote the original story in the 6th century BCE. Aesop is considered the creator of, are you ready? Humanized animal portraiture. That is a very fancy way of saying that Aesop decided to write stories about animals who acted like people. More importantly, Aesop created a new kind of story known as the fable. A fable is a tale with a lesson tucked inside. Aesop was a Greek of humble origins, perhaps a servant or a slave, but he became famous as a storyteller even in his own time. Aesop never told people that they were foolish or greedy, or that they were thoughtless or rude. Instead, he wrote stories about animals who acted much like the people he encountered. Aesop's fables are full of folly and wisdom, vice and virtue, and often have a humorous twist. They show what happens if you are too greedy or too proud, and because the fables are about animals and not about humans, it's easier to agree that hard work, modesty, and generosity of spirit always win out in the end. Aesop laid out his stories like shoes. If they fit, he was inviting you to try them on. If you prefer not to, you could just enjoy the story. Fables are wonderful because they tell essential truths about people. The steady, hard-working tortoise wins the race because he possesses the admirable qualities of diligence, perseverance, and optimism. The maxim, slow and steady wins the race, applies to so much of our lives, from learning to ride a bicycle to passing the most difficult examinations in school. It was true in Aesop's time. It was true at the time of La Fontaine, the great French fabulist who retold many of Aesop's fables in the 1600s. And, of course, it is still true today.
Once upon a time, there lived a hare. He was tall and handsome, with elegant long ears and a splendid coat. But what he was most proud of were his powerful legs. They were long, and they were fast. And, as he would tell you himself, they were the fastest legs in the whole forest, the fastest legs in the whole country, and the whole world, and perhaps even in the entire galaxy. As you can see, he was exceedingly proud of his speedy lower extremities. Now, living in the forest, there were many wonderful animals. Rabbits, chipmunks, mice, beavers, badgers, muskrats, woodchucks, stoats, porcupines, skunks, and foxes. Most of them had been very well brought up. They had been taught that it was impolite to brag. And, quite frankly, while they had to admit that most of what Mr. Hare had to say about his legs was true, they were very tired of hearing all about it. Oh, Mrs. Chipmunk, I just ran all the way to town and back in less time than it would have taken a professional marathon runner of comparable age and size. I've computed all the calculations. Would you like to see them? Asked the eager Hare. No, thank you, Mr. Hare. I have to finish my washing, dear, she replied. Yesterday I jumped over the creek at Swallow's Nest. The river was swollen to the highest point it has been in 2 decades. Here, I've cut a clipping out of the newspaper. Would you like to read how remarkable my jump was, Mr. Badger? No, thanks. I'm busy reading the sports section at the moment, Mr. Hare, replied Badger. Would you like to play hopscotch with us, Mr. Hare? Asked the 6 tiny porcupines. Oh, no, my dears, answered Hare.
You just don't understand. Someone with legs like mine, million-dollar legs, just doesn't play games with small animals. These are competition legs. These are the legs of a champion. In fact, I'll have you know, I've decided that what this forest needs is to have a marathon. I will invite everyone from miles around to come and compete. I will invite the press. Then I will win the grand prize and become exceedingly famous. I will become the local hero and probably a national tourist attraction. Animals will come from miles around to see me and my powerful, swift legs. So, what do you think? Great idea, hmm? So, Hare organized the marathon and invited all the animals to come and compete, or just to watch him win. But then, a terrible thing happened. No one wanted to race against Hare. All of the animals in the valley and forest felt embarrassed. Imagine a race and no one competing. What would they do? They asked and they begged and they cajoled and even offered gifts. But no one wanted to race against Hare. And then a most remarkable thing happened. Tortoise took one step forward and said,
I will race. I will race against Hare.
But you can't, they all cried. You will lose. You'll make a fool of yourself. There's no need for you to do this to yourself.
But someone must race, and I am offering my services, said Tortoise modestly.
And that is how the race between the tortoise and the hare began. Tortoise had been working out ever since that fateful day when he had volunteered to race. And, as you might expect, Hare had been jumping across Swallow's Nest several times a day and offering interviews to the press. I, of course, do not have to think about such trivial matters as winning or losing. The race is in my back pocket. So I'm concentrating on my style and my technique, record-setting long jumps, awe-inspiring high jumps. Poor old Tortoise. His major concern is just making it to the starting line. To think that he, of all the animals, decided to represent them in this race leaves one quite speechless. Tut-tut. But better slow competition than no competition. Hare went on and on, boasting and bragging, and showing off his flashy new running shoes. And Tortoise kept on working out. A short walk here. And a short walk there. First to chipmunks, then to porcupines. Finally, he made it all the way to skunks and foxes. But it was slow going. He huffed and he puffed. And he soaked his sore and blistered feet.
I do not expect to win, but I do plan to make a respectable showing.
He confided to the stoats one evening as he collapsed into his easy chair.
I really shall be very happy when this is all over.
and I can go back to reading and doing crossword puzzles. Even a little quiet, slow work in the garden would be nice. But mustn't think of that now. Ooh. Ah. My feet do hurt, but it will all be over soon. Finally, the day of the race came. The sun was pouring over the horizon, and the air was cool. Tortoise had a band-aid on each of his toes, and Hare had on yet another pair of running shoes. Of course, I have an advantage, Hare began with the press. Just look at my legs. They're million-dollar legs. They're long and fast, probably the fastest in the whole. Suddenly, Tortoise appeared, and all of the reporters turned to him. Any comment, Mr. Tortoise, about this very unusual race?
No, sirs, said Tortoise calmly.
Do you honestly think that there's any chance that you might win, Mr. Tortoise? They all clamored.
By all laws of probability, my dear fellows, I would have to say no.
Tortoise shook his head.
But we tortoises are slow and steady. We give it the good fight.
Hare was holding his sides laughing. Ha ha! Ah, I thought that old slow and steady stuff went out years ago. Move up with the times, Mr. Tortoise. Are you certain that you still wish to subject yourself to this almost preordained humiliation?
I said what I meant. I meant what I said. I will race, declared Tortoise.
Hare's publicity campaign was so successful that even the pretzel vendor of Paris arrived at the starting line, selling his delicious pretzels and singing his famous song. I love selling pretzels on the Champs-Élysées. I always serve them hot, 'cause people like them that way. From Place de la Concorde to the Arc de Triomphe, when I'm selling pretzels, people never seem to get enough. Every Sunday afternoon, I'm at the Étoile. All my US customers say, gee, these are swell. When I'm selling pretzels on the Champs-Élysées, c'est le pied, c'est le pied, c'est le pied. The trumpet sounded, and they were off. Hare in a cloud of dust, Tortoise moving slowly down the road. Within sight of the starting line, Hare had done three cartwheels, two flips, and one long jump across the creek. Tortoise had barely made it to the bridge, but on he went. Go on, Tortoise, cried Skunk. You can do it, cried the stoats. Hare was far out of view, but all of the animals continued to cheer Tortoise on. Don't worry, we will be at the next house with water. Anything you need, we will have it ready for you. Meanwhile, Hare had crossed the second bridge at Pig's Crossing, rounded Mulberry Hill, and was moving on toward Mrs. Chipmunk's house. Hare really wasn't tired, but he was tired of running with no one to brag to. He had also started out at a flying pace. Soon he was thinking, I'm getting just a bit hungry. Think the old stomach could use a little pick-me-up. Fortunately, he had just arrived at Beaver Creek, where Mrs. Beaver had recently opened a little restaurant with red and white checkered tablecloths in the French bistro style. "Bonjour, Monsieur Air," she cried. "You are so far ahead in the race. Would you not like to try some of my délicieuse French onion soup? It will only take a petit moment." "My dear madam, I know that I probably should not. But it smells so delicious that I think I shall," Hare answered as he sat down at a small table. "And perhaps a glass of good French red wine?" Then Hare finished the soup and drank the wine. "Splendid! Simply magnifique!" said Hare, waving his handkerchief, and off he went. Meanwhile, Tortoise continued on. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Tortoise counted every step. Pigs Crossing, Mulberry Hill, Mrs. Chipmunk's. Everyone cheered and shouted optimistically. "Hare wasn't here so very long ago. Keep going, Tortoise. Slow and steady wins the race." "Thank you," Tortoise puffed. "You are all being most kind." Of course, Hare by this time had almost reached the finish line. The last landmark on the course was the bridge at Swallow's Nest. "Swallow's Nest? But where are the photographers my agent invited?" cried Hare. "This is the place for my most spectacular jump. This would be the shot of the race. Why are they not here? Perhaps they are down there by that silly old bridge. I'll just run down and tell them to come up here. This is where I plan to cross Swallow's Nest with a flying leap in a single bound and win the race." So Hare bounded down to the little bridge, but no one was there. He raced back to the wide gully at Swallow's Nest. Still, no one was there. "I guess I've been too fast. I must be very early. I'll just lie down here and wait for them to come. They should be here shortly, and a quick 10-minute nap would be so nice after that delicious lunch. I expect they'll wake me up." So Hare lay down at the edge of Swallow's Nest in the lovely spring grass, and soon he was sound asleep. He dreamt about the photographers and his magnificent jump. He dreamt about his picture on the front page of the local newspaper. He dreamt of a victory party with French onion soup and good French wine. And Hare slept on and on. 1, 2, 3, 4. "No, thank you, Mrs. Chipmunk. A little water, and I must continue on." "No, thank you, Mr. Stoat. Just a cool towel for my brow, and I must be on my way." "No, thank you, Mrs. Beaver. Just a little water. I can't rest yet. 1, 2, 3, 4. tortoise continued along the prescribed course. One, two, three, four. Hare slept on. The sun was beginning to set, and the sky was turning orange as Tortoise approached the little old bridge at Swallow's Nest. Flash, flash, pop, flash, went the cameras as Tortoise, head down and puffing, crossed the bridge. Any comment, Mr. Tortoise? Shouted all the reporters. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four, mumbled Tortoise. Then the finish line came into view. Four, three, two, one. Four, three, two, one. I began the race, and now it's done. Tortoise crossed the finish line. Four, three, two, one. No, no! Shouted all the animals.
Four, three, two, one! Tortoise is the one who won!
Hare suddenly woke up. He couldn't believe his ears. Four, three, two, one! Tortoise is the one who won! Hare took a wild flying leap. He crossed the bridge at Swallow's Nest and raced to the finish line. There's been a terrible mistake. I've been asleep for hours just on the other side of the finish line. I'm the fastest. I should have won, Hare complained.